is Business 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Rescuers face plenty of obstacles as they try to reach 16 miners trapped in central China. An explosion today killed at least 21 miners and unleashed about 2,500 tons of coal dust in the mine shaft. President Obama says there's no reason to reward U.S. companies with tax breaks when they're creating jobs overseas.
One of the keys to job creation is to encourage companies to invest more in the United States. But for years, our tax code has actually given billions of dollars in tax breaks that encourage companies to create jobs and profits in other countries.
That was the president's message in his weekly radio and internet address. In the GOP address, Congressman Mike Pence urged House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to call lawmakers back to Washington and vote on extending the Bush tax cuts before the midterm election.
The prosperity of the American people is more important than the political fortunes of any politician or any political party.
Speaker Pelosi and the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, have said the tax issue will not be taken up until after the midterm election. Early voting gets underway today in Nevada with the marquee Senate race still neck and neck. The balloting begins less than 48 hours after the first televised debate between Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and GOP challenger Sharon Angle. Las Vegas resident Armin Rudd says he made a mistake when he supported Reid in an earlier campaign.
I don't like Harry. I did vote for him 8 years ago to give him a chance, and I've been sorely disappointed.
Las Vegas resident Glenn Woodall, though, says that Reid is a better choice for the state.
He's the most powerful man that's been elected from the state of Nevada. And to turn that over for somebody who has extreme views backed by political special interest groups just doesn't say that it's going to be the best for Nevada.
And with early voting now underway, both sides are turning their attention to getting out the vote. About 58% of Nevada's voters took advantage of early voting 2 years ago. And this is SRN News.
Picture this. It's a few days after your funeral. Your family is gathered to settle your estate. In the midst of their grief, something starts to go terribly wrong. You never discussed your wishes regarding a few key items, and because of that, your children are left to make decisions about your stuff. Grief quickly turns to anger, and then greed. The hostilities between siblings mark their relationships for years. This common situation is the basis of the book Cabinosity, authored by Peter McClellan and Kelly Shockman. Cabinosity is a practical book filled with short, entertaining stories about inheritance that can help you coach the spirit that your heirs will one day bring to your settlement table. Call the 401k Latte Company at 952-882-0400 or visit online at 401klatte.com to purchase your copy. Read it and share it with your family to help them stay unified long after you're gone. 952-882-0400.
New windows for America.
And here's another satisfied customer of New Windows for America.
I'm Mike Whitchurch from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. I got a house with all new windows and new doors. We've appreciated it a lot, especially during the coldest part of the winter and the hottest part of the summer. It was a 1977 house with the original windows and doors. It was pretty drafty. You could actually feel the breeze blowing in from the front door, and that is all gone now.
It won't be long before the cold air starts moving in, so seal your home up tight with industry-leading windows and doors from New Windows for America. You'll be happy with the look and feel of the maintenance-free casing and easy-to-clean surfaces, and don't forget the lifetime warranty on glass breakage. Call New Windows for America today at 612-869-9000 or check them out online at 612-869-9000.com. And don't forget, those tax credits expire soon.
New Windows for America.
Did you know that eating less than 1,000 calories a day can actually make your body gain weight instead of lose it? To lose weight, you have to feed your body right. Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies. When I looked around for a weight loss solution that would work for me, I couldn't find one that fed my body right. So I decided to create my own. My patented weight loss smoothies are so effective, so powerful, that I'm going to let anyone who calls today try them free for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off or you'll never pay for the smoothies. To claim your free 2-week trial, call now. 1-800-405-3711. And now I've made my smoothies even better because if you're one of the first 100 callers, you'll not only receive a free 2-week trial, you'll also receive my revolutionary blender bottle absolutely free. To be one of the first 100 callers, call 1-800-405-3711. That's 1-800-405-3711.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management. It's time for Where You Live with Gene and Tony, the show that's all about owning, buying, selling, renting, and association management. If it involves a home, we'll talk about it. Here's your chance to get your homeowner questions answered. From the Concierge Landscape Studios, here's Gene and Tony.
Need the shelter of someone's arms, and there you were. Needed someone to understand my ups and downs. And
that great experiment called the United States of America, where we have founded our country based on the idea that we can balance the rights of the individual with that of the majority, with people that don't have power, with people that do. And every year, every state legislature or United States federal government get together to always work on those laws that and tweak them to try and maintain that balance between different folks and different interests. And this morning on Where You Live with Gene and Tony, we're going to be talking about the balance of the landlord and the renter and what those rights and responsibilities are. Good morning, everybody. I'm Gene Sullivan.
And I'm Tony Crockett. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. And we're happy to have on the air with us this morning Mike Brough, who is the managing attorney and director of Homeline, Inc., who is a part of an organization that's a tenant advocacy group. And we're going to be happy to have him share his perspective, things that they've been working on, accomplished this last year in 2010 in this last legislative session, and what they're looking at moving forward here.
And we want to make sure our listeners call in with questions
right.
or comments, 651-289-4477. Also, you can be listening to us live online, streaming at 1570 Business Radio. You just click on Listen Live and choose our program.
Mm-hmm. And before we get into our topic today, it is time for that segment called Property Management in the News. And this morning, we have an article that came from the pages of the Minneapolis Star Tribune just this last week in their business section. It is called Stacking Up, a Spotlight on the Housing Market. It says home sales fell again in September, leaving inventory levels at their highest level in more than a year. The Twin Cities housing market continued to suffer from a post-tax credit hangover with falling home sales, sagging prices, and growing concerns that a partial moratorium on foreclosure sales by some of the nation's largest lenders will only add more turbulence to this market's recovery. According to a report released this last Monday from the Minneapolis Area Association of Realtors, there were a little over 33.5% fewer home sales this last month compared with that of a year ago. Prices have also have fallen by 2.4%, the average price of a home in the Minneapolis Twin City area, to about $166,000 right now. Analysts said it's important to keep these numbers in context. The federal tax credit that people received of up to $8,000, of course, expired this last April, and that's why we're seeing prices and the market where it is right now. Still, analysts noted that sales are down right now just 1.4% this year compared with the first 9 months of September of 2008. Tony, I think this is really important because when you take a look at, and we talked about this, I guess, a couple of weeks ago on the show as well, the what we're seeing is people trying to prop up this idea or notion of what the market should be.
What it should look like and what should be happening.
Yes, how many homes should be selling? How many should be on the market? And I think it is still hard in our nation's psyche to realize that we may be just looking at fewer homes than we did before.
Well, yeah, and you talked about the federal tax credit, and we talked a couple of weeks ago about how that kind of artificially boosted sales. And so it was natural that sales dropped after April 30th when that program ended.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking that the last couple, or the boom, has been kind of an artificial situation.
Well, yes. Yes, we had, because of, I think, the loose guidelines from a number of years ago with allowing housing mortgages to become more accessible for folks. It probably brought more people in the market than probably was at any one time than there had been before. And so
more
now
than
there
normal.
Was,
yeah.
And that caused, all of a sudden you have this influx, a large group of people saying, we want product and it's not there. So that's why housing prices went up.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden that can't continue to be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And so now prices are going down.
Sure.
What we're talking about is strict, I guess, just understanding of the free market.
Right. So you see this more as the market correcting itself. Is that
oh,
right?
Oh, I think so. Definitely. Yes. It says here that the market suffers from a serious lack of confidence as buyers wonder whether prices will continue to fall or if they'll lose their job and not find another one.
Mm-hmm.
I think consumers are still being very conservative, said Brad Fisher, president of the Minneapolis Area Association of Realtors. They're still waiting for jobs and they're waiting for the economy to improve. With buyers in short supply, he said, and many sitting on the fence waiting for an indication that the market has finally hit bottom and inventory levels are up almost 14% compared with a year ago.
So do you think buyers are in short supply right now?
No, I with everybody that is trying to sell their home, yes. But are buyers in short supply? I guess I would disagree with Brad in this aspect. We are short of the type of buyers that bought homes these last few years. And what I'm referring to is we had people who had this assumption that I can buy a home and almost be guaranteed that even though I don't have to care about the price, I don't have to care about whether or not I'm going to live there or not, because these prices are going up higher and higher.
And they'll continue to
And
do
they'll
so.
Continue to do
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Whether or not I really just need it,
yeah.
need the place
to live.
It's
that short-sightedness. So we need more short-sighted buyers, you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, we did have short-sighted buyers. What we need are people that are more long, that are more long-term.
There you go. And probably that's happening.
I think so, definitely. Case in point, they said there was a gentleman listed in this article, a Ross Heyer, who's never thought he'd be able to afford his own home, but he is now closing on his first home, a three-bedroom home. That was an investor foreclosure from 2009. He's purchasing the home price, $77,000.
Mm.
And he said it almost feels like stealing. And I would say to this gentleman, no, it's not stealing. The
right.
market has been correcting itself here finally. Because when I think about it, I don't think that the guy from the Minneapolis Area Association Realtor stated, he said, I think people are waiting for the market to hit bottom. I don't think people wait always for the bottom before they buy things. Case in point, if, in property management all the time, we have different vendors who provide services for the properties that we manage. You try to find insurance. We need insurance on the property.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try and get prices from several other people. But you and I both know you could ask for pricing from five different people, five different companies, and you can choose one, move ahead with it only a month or two later to continue to search with another three, another four, and find someone who will offer the same thing for a little bit lower.
Well, sure, the market changes and the supply changes. We know we've gone through years where insurance costs were very high, because of what had occurred in the area, damages that had occurred. And then a couple of years later, they go back down. So when we have to have something, we have to buy it.
Yes.
Regardless of whether the market has bottomed out.
And I think that is the smart thing. Instead of people who are trying to just purchase homes, and a lot of the sales that we were looking at in this housing bubble that was being referred to the last few years, was it an artificial one? These weren't people who needed housing. A lot of this happened from people who wanted to think of themselves as an investor, as Donald Trump wannabe. And a lot of the sales took place with people who were just simply speculating, you know, trying to flip the homes very quickly in order just to get another and higher price.
So what about this mortgage, this foreclosure moratorium that's happening? How do you think that's affecting the sales market or will affect the sales market?
I think it's... I don't think that we'll probably see all of the larger banks necessarily following suit. This last week or so, I think Bank of America talked about wanting to have a moratorium.
Well, they did do it.
Yep, on foreclosed home sales. So they said, hey, we've got a lot of inventory. We're just not going to... we're just going to take a step back, and we're not going to...
and review their paperwork to make sure it was legal. Well, wasn't that
They may have some other issues there, but yes, okay. But they said we're going to stop. And other people are saying, well, oh, that's terrible. You can't do that because it'll be terrible for the market. And I don't think so. In this Star Tribune article, it ends with a quote from a sales agent from Keller Williams, who said, if prospective buyers are worried that an offer on a foreclosed property or one that's in default could be jeopardized now by a moratorium, there could be stronger demand for traditional deals. In other words, there are still a lot of people who have purchased their home for a price. They've paid for it, or they've paid enough down on it that even though they may not get the same price that they were hoping for a few years ago, they can still sell their home, still have money after that, and move on. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what's going to happen is if there's a stronger sense of a moratorium that takes place where banks say, we're not going to sell, I think that's going to be a strong sign for the other homeowners because they saw these prices decreased over the last few years because of the way a lot of the large banks dealt with this whole process. Now, if they continue to say, we're not putting that product on, what is it going to do? Now there's going to be less product.
Sure.
When you have less product, now that value goes up. Mm-hmm. And so people will be able to see housing prices go up. So I think it is a good sign because it's finally a way of just allowing things to be righted. That's not to say
again, corrections to the market. Give us your opinion, 651-289-4477.
And today, the property management in the news, of course, was brought to you by Pest Control Services. When you need to get rid of unwanted pests in your home or rental property, call someone who's responsive, professional, and a proud member of Angie's List. Give owner Greg Keener a call at 952-894-9748. That's Pest Control Services. Well, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we will be talking with Mike Vrah, Managing Attorney and Director for Homeline, on balancing the rights and responsibilities of tenants and landlords.
Setting the standard in association management. That's new concepts. Their professional staff is dedicated to top-notch customer care. This dedication has made them the leader at providing services to housing associations and homeowners. Your association may be looking for help with administration, consulting, financials, public relations, or vendor management. With over 140 years of combined experience, New Concepts is prepared to help you with all of your association needs, whatever they may be. New Concepts also offers construction, remodeling, maintenance, home staging, and real estate services. For all your association management or homeowner needs, call New Concepts. You can reach them at 952-922-2500.
That's 952-922-2500. Or online at newconceptsgroup.com. newconceptsgroup.com. New Concepts, setting the standard in association management and providing innovations beyond.
Are you a woman with noticeable brown spots, age spots, liver spots, or uneven tones on your skin? If you answered yes, you're entitled to a free 30-day supply of Dr. Perry's Night Skin. Dr. Arthur Perry is a Harvard-trained plastic surgeon, and his Night Skin cream was made with ingredients that fade the look of ugly brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. Your area has been selected to try a free 30-day supply of Night Skin. This amazing free giveaway is only available while supplies last, so don't wait. Diminish the appearance of brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. To find out how you can try a free 30-day supply of Night Skin for just shipping and handling, call 1-800-764-7498. That's 800-764-7498. This free offer won't last long, so call now. Call 1-800-764-7498. That's 800-764-7498.
You have enough headaches with your portfolio.
Yes, Mrs. Johnson, I did send them a letter regarding the parking policy. Hello? Of course we're going to replace the damaged bush, Mrs. Johnson. Tuesday. Of course, Mrs. Johnson. Yes, Mrs. Johnson.
Your vendors shouldn't be one of them.
No, Mrs. Johnson, we can't force them out of the association for snoring. But feel free to bring that up at the next board meeting, which starts in 20 minutes.
At New Exteriors by SMA, we understand that you deal with plenty of issues. Your exterior remodeling projects don't need to be one of them. Put our experience in roofing, siding, windows, and more to work for you. The other headaches?
Yes, Mrs. Johnson.
Well, you're on your own. New Exteriors by SMA. Visit newexterior.com or call 877-SMA today.
You're listening to Where You Live with Gene and Tony on Twin Cities Business Radio 1570.
Welcome back to Where You Live with Gene and Tony. We're broadcasting live from the Concierge Landscape Studios. Before we get into our topic today, I'd like to remind our listeners here in the first hour, we have a free subscription, a bi-monthly newsletter that's yours free for the asking. Just give us a call during the week at New Concepts at 952-922-2500. Ask for Courtney, and she'll make sure that you start receiving your subscription. And we have over 18,000 folks subscribing right now. A lot of the topics that we cover here on Where You Live are covered in further detail in that newsletter. And folks said it's a great resource. So give us a call, 952-922-2500. And for the show today, we want you to call in.
That's right, 651-289-4477. Or you can email us, that right, Gene?
Yes, that's right, at gene@ncmgi.com. That's gene@ncmgi.com. And we can take your questions by email. Mm-hmm. If you are a little bit shy, and some folks are, you can just call our number and tell our producer that you want to be anonymous, and he'll just pass the question on to us as well. But do give us a call.
Yeah.
We want to ask the question today, what inequities do you think exist between a tenant and landlord today? What needs changing? Why? Do you think current laws favor tenants? Do you think current laws favor the landlords?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be our discussion today. And we're happy to have in the studio with us Mike Vrah, who's managing attorney and director for Homeline Inc., a tenant advocacy group in Minnesota. Good morning, Mike.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah welcome.
Are we getting the levels okay? I think okay on here. I maybe something with my headset here, but we'll go on. Mike, tell us a little bit first about Homeline. You know, I had, of course, heard of the Minnesota Tenants Union a number of years ago, but I really don't hear much about them anymore. But I've heard quite a bit about Homeline. Tell me, how did Homeline get started?
Well, Homeline came into existence, I think, 1992. It was a program that covered the suburbs of Hennepin County. since then, we have expanded our reach, and we essentially cover the entire state.
I think we may be having some trouble. Let's try another microphone here.
How's this?
Oh, that is much better.
Is this the answer?
There we go. Yes.
That was a brilliant answer I gave, too.
Yes,
it was. Too bad our listeners missed that one. Oh, we're kidding.
All right. No, it wasn't brilliant. right. Homeblind started 18 years ago, covering the suburbs of Hennepin County. It was a part of a community action program. Since then, we've broadened our scope, and now we have programs that do work in the entire state, essentially.
Okay. How long have you been with Homeblind?
14 years now.
14. Mm-hmm. So you've been there almost since the very beginning then.
That's right. For a lot of it.
Let me ask you, how did you come to work with Homeblind yourself?
Well, it was my first, I'm a lawyer. It was my first real job as a lawyer. I was actually a VISTA. I'm not sure if you know what that is.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, tell us about that experience a little bit.
Sure. It's essentially a domestic version of the Peace Corps, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way to put that. You serve for a year and you basically get no pay for it. It's $600 or $700 a month. Is mm-hmm. the stipend is what they call it. And the theory is you try to help a group that's dealing with poverty climb out of poverty if possible. And so anyhow, I did that for a year. And then a staff position opened up, and I jumped on board.
Okay. Now, are there other organizations like Homeblind, too, that are serving as a tenant advocacy group?
There are groups that do tenant advocacy. We're kind of unique in sort of the breadth of what we cover. Legal Aid, of course, does a lot of tenant advocacy work. A group called APAC works with people that live in mobile homes as well. But I'd say that those are the three largest ones that do that kind of work.
Okay. And this last year, and or I guess, well, every year, I suppose, Homeblind has always probably gone before the legislature or gone dealt with legislators and dealing with issues with tenant advocacy.
Actually, that's not what we focused on.
Oh, okay.
We just started doing that within the last 18 months,
I think.
Oh,
really? Okay, yeah. All right. I assume that there was. So before that, it was more of counseling then for the tenant or the renter.
That's right.
Okay. But you've moved towards more towards advocacy now and working at the state legislature in trying to affect laws now.
That's right. Yeah, we had a person come over from a place called the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless, a guy named Michael Dahl, who had a lot of experience with the legislature, and we wanted to take advantage of that experience, and we thought we'd give it a try.
Okay.
Why, Mike, why do you think an organization like Homeblind is even necessary?
Well, not on the legislative front, but on the counseling front, what we try to do is we try to give renters information. That really is what we do. I mean, we get 11 or 12,000 calls a year.
Wow.
From tenants that want to know what their rights are, and it's a complicated area, so we try to explain it to them.
What are some of the, if I could ask, what are some of the most common questions or concerns you get from renters who call in?
Top five call reasons are repairs, evictions, security deposits, currently foreclosures, the landlord being foreclosed on,
yep.
and tenants trying to get out of a lease.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been become sort of your bailiwick or expertise over the last year or so, too, hasn't it? Because of
the foreclosures?
Yeah.
Yeah, whether we wanted to or not, tenants are facing that.
Yeah.
So we have a couple people that do essentially nothing but foreclosures. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just ask another question. You know, we've always tried to talk on where you live about balancing when there are rights, there also are, you know, responsibilities that go along, you know, with mm-hmm. that, you know, as well. If you had to take a guess at the way things are right now currently, what percent of the market would you say are landlords that are trying to really don't care about the renter versus those that are honestly making an honest effort at trying to provide a good service to their customer?
Well, in the 14 years of doing this, I've come up with a number. 5% of both landlords and tenants are bad landlords or bad tenants.
You know, I've said the same thing,
the bad apple
out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the one we all hear about. That's the one that you see the stories in the paper about or hear about them.
Because, they make for interesting news. They said dog... dog biting man isn't a news story, but man biting a dog, that is.
I would read that story.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I always think of that 5% of landlords, bad landlords, and 5% of bad tenants as the reason I have a job.
I suppose that's true for me too.
That's most of our workload.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that it's really a minority, unfortunately, because that seems to be the more salacious stories. So those are the things that people kind of grab onto, or they use and hold up as sort of the standard. That can be kind of a bad way of creating law, though, don't you think?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, to me, if you create something that is that is an exception instead of the rule, you know, then you're creating something that I think can get out of whack or be misplaced.
Well, and that's always an issue for landlords is, are we all going to get painted with the brush of the bad landlord? And I do think we have to deal with more regulation every year, more fees every year, because of that 5% that are making us look bad.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that seems to happen quite a bit, I guess I kind of refer to it as the law of unintended consequences. As soon as you have a certain rule or certain law that is established, all of a sudden, because you've got that 5%, now you've got somebody trying to kind of work around that law and kind of work around it, and then you get other consequences because of another law that took place. Mm-hmm. Example would be our story in property management in the news, you know, about the whole housing bubble and foreclosure. Some of that was established because of laws intended to try and have greater access for people to purchase homes, but then
there were unintended.
The unintended events. Consequences were people that really shouldn't have been able to purchase, or people who were just trying to be speculators ended up globbing on that and ended up taking advantage, creating a market that is now, you know, popped, and now people are kind of living in those consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But let me get back to Homeline here. This last year, in 2010, you guys worked at the legislature. What were some of the key things that you were able to take care of, or that you were able to put in place that you're proud of?
Well, I think there was probably three of the multitude of things that got changed that I really think have a big impact mm-hmm. in the landlord-tenant community. The first one is the capping of late fees. I'll tell you the old rule, and then I'll tell you the new rule. The old rule was landlords couldn't charge a punitive late fee. And that was about as clear as it got, a pretty vague standard. But I have seen late fees, and I'm not making this up, of $25 a day in a lease.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to see how that's compensating a landlord for what they're losing. It's clearly a penalty designed to try to get the tenant to pay, or in the worst case scenario, in that 5%, a revenue stream for that landlord. Mm-hmm. They're just counting on that $25 a day from a certain percentage of their renters. The new rule, which will go into effect in January of 2011, is an 8% rule that the landlord cannot charge more than 8% for the late fee. The thing I really like about the late fee change is, like the speed limit, it's just a really understandable number.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your rent is, that's going to be the cap. You can't charge any more. And a lot of landlords weren't exactly sure that there was a rule. They thought they could charge whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they went to housing court and tried to enforce it, the judge would just say, no, you can't do that. That's not an enforceable late fee. So this will give everybody a idea what the real rule is.
Yeah.
So Mike, are you saying, just let me back up a little bit here, that the late fee should not be intended to be an incentive for people to pay on time?
No, it can't be a penalty for not paying on time.
Gotcha.
That's what it can't be.
It's just to cover costs mm-hmm. that the landlord might incur. I know that the 8% rule, has it gone into effect yet?
January 1,
mm-hmm. That's what I thought. But we went through and changed all of our stuff immediately mm-hmm. because I didn't want to forget, for one thing.
Sure.
And because with automated systems, it just makes it easier to deal with. So every one of our leases where it reduced the late fee, we did that.
Yeah.
In some cases, it increased the late fee
yep.
on some of our leases. So you know, of course, I mean, have the honor average, currently.
And again, I don't think that that was probably a practice of a majority of folks. I think a lot of people probably had sort of a standard late fee in their lease, I would think. At least this is what I'm thinking from my experience, you know, things like a $50, $100, you know, that just sort of a
straight
fee.
Well, we had a flat late fee no matter what the amount of rent was. So that was the big change, was now it was a percentage of rent. So we had to make some changes, which, by the way, we're really not perfect with an automated system, because I found that our system doesn't work real well with just trying to enter a percentage. We had to tweak things a little bit. So
we didn't mean to cause you trouble.
Okay.
Give us another example of something else.
Sure. attorney's fees. Most leases in this state, if a landlord has a lease, and it's a decent lease, it's going to have something about attorney's fees. Mm-hmm. And typically what it says is that if the landlord takes the tenant to court or has to enforce the lease, then the tenant has to pay their attorney's fees.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, I believe, August of next year, that will become a bilateral clause. So if you have an attorney's fees clause in your lease as a landlord, it becomes a bilateral clause, which means that the tenant, if they win, get their attorney's fees covered.
So you just tried to put in some more clarity and even the playing field.
Then. That's it. It's not about clarity. That's about evening the playing field.
Right. Okay. Making it equitable. That's, and I don't think there was any objection on the side of the landlords to that, at least not what I've heard since it was passed. Everyone kind of felt like, well, you know what? That's fair.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense to me. If you're going to do something on one side, then that should be the same thing afforded to the other person as well.
Sure. And the third big one for me was the application fee overhaul. The application system, again, where a landlord takes $30 to $50 to do a background check on somebody, and they look at credit, criminal, and rental history. The old rule was that a landlord could take 100 applicants and pick their favorite of those 100 and run the background check for all of them. The new rule is they have to go sequentially, one at a time. And so if they pick number one, they have to return the money for all 99 of the remaining 100. Also, they have to have written criteria in advance, which I think forces landlords to pre-screen. If there's one segment of the industry that gets hurt by this, it's the tenant screening industry, because they'll run a lot less background checks. But more landlords are likely to ask questions up front so they don't waste their time and take their place off the market.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Minneapolis and St. Paul actually have had that ordinance in place for some time now, haven't they?
Yeah, similar ordinances. That's right. The state one was sort of a blend of those two ordinances.
I see.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of questions today, and I'd like to, when we get into our next segment here, Mike, talk to you a little bit about some of the things that you are looking at here for the future. I find it fascinating and great that on your website, I noticed that you've given a spot asking for feedback from those that would go to your website and clients, your customers, the people that you deal with, trying to prioritize what is it that we should be taking a look at here at in the future. We're going to talk about some of those ideas, some of those potential changes here for 2011 beyond. We want to hear from you, 651-289-4477. But let's take a break. We'll be back after these messages.
Setting the standard in association management. That's New Concepts. Their professional staff is dedicated to top-notch customer care. This dedication has made them the leader at providing services to housing associations and homeowners. Your association may be looking for help with administration, consulting, financials, public relations, or vendor management. With over 140 years of combined experience, New Concepts is prepared to help you with all of your association needs, whatever they may be. New Concepts also offers construction, remodeling, maintenance, home staging, and real estate services. For all your association management or homeowner needs, call New Concepts. You can reach them at 952-922-2500. That's 952-922-2500. Or online at newconceptsgroup.com. newconceptsgroup.com. New Concepts, setting the standard in association management and providing innovations beyond.
Attention, Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-522-0884. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of your dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today, 1-800-522-0884. Once more, that's 1-800-522-0884.
Schoenfelder Painting, providing high-quality commercial and residential painting, delivering white-collar service in a blue-collar industry. Schoenfelder Painting practices total quality management, meaning they pay their painters a 10% bonus if the customer signs off as extremely pleased. 85% of the time, their customers aren't satisfied, they're extremely pleased. Schoenfelderpainting.com or 952-345-2900. 952-345-2900 or schoenfelderpainting.com.
Clean Response is a nationwide 24-hour disaster recovery response team to the rescue and on the scene at a moment's notice. Whether it's massive property damage caused by a natural disaster or damage by a fire or flood, Clean Response is there to provide the highest quality catastrophe services, quickly bringing your property back to pre-loss condition. Call Clean Response today, 651-646-3408. That's 651-646-3408. Oh, oh, oh,
welcome back to Where You Live with Gene and Tony. We're broadcasting live from the Concierge Landscape Studios. Give us a call today, 651-289-4477, 651-289-4477. We're talking to Mike Vrah, Managing Attorney and Director for Homeline, a tenant advocacy group in Minnesota. We're talking about the rights between a tenant and a landlord. And, you know, we've talked in past shows from the landlord's perspective. We're happy to have Mike on from Homeline, trying to understand more of the tenant's perspective here, too, and some of the things that they're working on inequities that are taking place. And we want to know, what inequities do you think are there right now currently between a landlord and tenant? Are you experiencing something you'd like to share with us today? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Mike, you were talking a little bit about some of the things that you've done this last year. We'd like to kind of turn our focus now a little bit on some of the other issues and see if we can talk about what it is you want to change and why at this time is that important. What is it that that you see taking place right now? And what we're going to go through here is a list. And these were issues that you've kind of put together on Homeline's website. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that website and the items that you have and what it is that you're making available for folks, because they can kind of respond to you too in this, right?
Right. We actually have a ballot where people can email their favorite issues that they'd like to see addressed. These are largely taken from proposals that we put in front of the legislature last year and for whatever reason didn't get any traction. I'd like to go back to the how we came up with this whole list in the first place.
Sure.
Well, sure.
We've taken over 125,000 calls, and we have a database of those calls. We looked at the top 30 call reasons why people called us and put out a sort of an informal poll in the office. What would you change about the rules if you could change any of them? And we came up with some pretty outlandish stuff, and some of it wasn't quite as outlandish as you can imagine.
Well, maybe I
what
can ask
some
you.
Of the outlandish ones?
You want to know the outlandish ones?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, sure. Oh, things like rent control, which is never going to happen in a state like this. In fact, the places where it exists, it's a controversial thing to hold on to.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's just politically and probably market-wise just is untenable. But we came up with a lot of cases, a lot of issues that we thought, well, that isn't crazy. Mm-hmm. Let's look around and see if other states have things like this. And that sort of became our new litmus test. Is this something that we should approach the legislature with? Do other states have rules in place already similar to what we're thinking about? And some of them got removed because there was nothing else, no parallels to other states. But the remainder were things that in some cases had the majority of states, the vast majority of states, are already doing, and Minnesota's not.
So okay, so these are things that other states have already enacted in similar in wording and intent.
That's
and all. Okay.
That's right.
While I'm thinking of it, I want to ask, how would a renter find your website to cast their vote on these issues?
Fair question. www.homeline, HomelineMN.org is where it is, and it's pretty obvious once you get there how to vote.
Okay, great.
Well, let's take a look at some of those top topics here and talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about the area of security deposits. And I'm going to read here from, this is from your website here too, security deposits. Minnesota tenants should have the right to pay no more than 1 month's rent on a security deposit and 1 1/4 month's rent if the landlord accepts pets.
What reason was there to have to or to work to limit security deposits, Mike?
Well, once again, this is one of those things that we see. This is sort of a big city problem versus a rural problem. We cover the whole state, so we see a lot of different issues around the state. This one's very urban in its in its concerns. And landlords charging 2-3 times a month's rent for a security deposit, which is, as you can imagine, prohibitive for a lot of people.
Why were they charging that amount? Because in my experience right now, the market won't bear that. In fact, most rentals, they're charging way less than 1 month rent for a security deposit in order to compete right now.
That's a fair point, Tony. But as I'm sure you're aware, these things cycle around. Sometimes it's going to be high deposits. Sometimes it's going to be no deposits.
So why are landlords charging such high deposits?
Well, generally they'll do it. They think that somebody's maybe not a desirable applicant. Mm-hmm. Maybe their credit is bad. So they'll say, look, I'm taking a risk on you, but I'm going to need, 2 months of rent or else I'm going to say no to you.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a legitimate reason?
It's a fair reason. I actually, if I were a landlord lawyer, I think that opens you up to some discriminatory concerns, because if you offer that deviation from your rental practices, your application standards to one party and you forget to offer it to the next one, you might have a potential discrimination
suit. Well, yeah, but we're dealing with those issues in all of fair housing.
Sure.
We're trying to be very careful to make sure we're equitable with everyone. What I worry about is this is going to make it impossible for us to rent to all the people we want to rent to. I mean, it's if someone's a higher risk and we can find a way to rent to them, we want to do that because we're in the business of renting homes. If you take away that ability from us, then we're going to have to rent to fewer people or a smaller segment of the market.
I think that argument's valid to a point. Eventually, the market's going to say, I've got 10 empty apartments out of 100. I got to rent them to somebody. Maybe I need to relax my standards.
That's right. And that happens already.
Yep.
So why do we have to limit this one tool we have to accept people with bad credit or who have been through a foreclosure or who had an old eviction? Those are the cases that we might use an increased security deposit.
Well, we're not talking about an old eviction here. We're just talking about having a giant security deposit. That's all we're really discussing with this one
issue.
Except
I'm telling you why a landlord would want to do that.
I would agree. I would think that the reason why people are asking for more money would be because they're just saying, I'm a little bit more uncomfortable with the worthiness of this individual. And so to me, it would seem to be a way to allow a person to prove themselves and get back on their feet. For example, if I think I would be more likely to give someone a try, because I have rental property as well. And if someone has just recently gone through foreclosure, what they're saying is, hey, I'm not paying my obligations here, but I'll meet my obligations with you. I don't know if I have that same confidence, but if a person says, you know what, it means so much to me that if you'll, and years ago it was a renter that actually came to me because I remember
that happens a lot still.
My first job in property management was back in 1985. I was the manager of an apartment, 160 unit apartment complex. And I remember an individual had just gone through a foreclosure and bankruptcy in their life, some pretty major things. And now they needed a place to live. And so they were turned down, even though they were going to pay 1 month's security deposit because of their background. But then they came back and said, I tell you what, if we paid 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and we finally went back to the owner of the property, and they said, well, yeah, if this person will pay 3 months' worth, mm-hmm. then they're showing a good, goodwill that mm-hmm. They are sound and wanting to be given a second try. And so they were given an opportunity and then given the opportunity to kind of establish themselves again.
Similarly now, a tenant could still say, you know what, I'll prepay the first 3 months of rent. Mm-hmm. This law wouldn't prohibit that if you're really worried about that. I've seen okay. people with really terrible credit prepay their entire lease.
Yep, so, I mean, we've seen that too.
That's a possibility. If that's really the concern, it can still be done without using okay. the deposit. Just kind of the theory behind this, that worst 5% of landlords, they keep every deposit. They do.
All right, but are we talking about retaining deposits, or are we talking about what we charge up front?
No, we're talking about retaining deposits at the end. The worst landlords keep every deposit.
All right, except our issue right now is talking about putting a limit on how much we can collect up front.
But that's how much the landlord is going to be able to take from the tenant at the end that they should have maybe been returned.
And I see that as a separate issue.
And just so we know what we're talking about here, I want you guys to guess, if you would, how many states do you think have a rule like this?
A limit on security deposit?
Yes.
I don't know. How many do?
I would have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's one between 0 and 50.
Okay, let's see. I'll say 27.
That's close. It's 30. 30 states have agreed with me already on this.
Right.
And the trend is certainly
yeah.
going in this direction.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I think the market will take care of this issue. I think the free market takes care of this issue. I can't charge three times the rent in a security deposit because I won't get anyone renting my homes. But if I do have the person that has bad background that I cannot find any other way to approve, if I can charge them an extra month security deposit, let's say they owe money to a former landlord. That happens all the time. We find that on the court records. Maybe I can rent to them if I charge them an additional security deposit.
Yeah, I hear the point. But look, the market's never going to be worse for landlords than it is right now, right? I mean, it's a pretty terrible market for many landlords. I think there's a lot of vacancies. Mm-hmm. And still we see double and triple deposits from our clients.
That shocks me. I'd like to know who's doing yeah. that and well, who's actually able to do it.
And we'd love to hear from other sure. folks here too. But, you know, we need to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk more about security deposits and much more in this issue of balancing landlords and tenants' rights and responsibilities with each other here on Where You Live with Gene and Tony on AM 1570. We'll be back after this.
That was fun. Yeah.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
KYCR, Golden Valley, a service of Salem Communications.
Setting the standard in association management. That's New Concepts. Their professional staff is dedicated to top-notch customer care. This dedication has made them the leader at providing services to housing associations and homeowners. Your association may be looking for help with administration, consulting, financials, public relations, or vendor management. With over 140 years of combined experience, New Concepts is prepared to help you with all of your association needs, whatever they may be. New Concepts also offers construction, remodeling, maintenance, home staging, and real estate services. For all your association management or homeowner needs, call New Concepts. You can reach them at 952-922-2500. That's 952-922-2500. Or online at newconceptsgroup.com. newconceptsgroup.com. New Concepts, setting the standard in association management and providing innovations beyond.
What are the three most important words in real estate law? Location, location, expertise. The board-certified real property specialists at Helmuth & Johnson bring their passion and their expertise to all your residential and commercial real property matters, including construction defect claims. Helmuth & Johnson, the law firm for all of your real estate needs. Call 952-941-4005 now for a free consultation or visit hjlawfirm.com.
Hi, this is Merlin Rothfeld, host of Power Trading Radio, the only financial radio show that's live coast to coast, where we talk about all asset classes, including stocks, options, futures, commodities, forex, real estate, psychology, and more. Tune into our next show, where I dive deep into the mailbag and answer your questions and phone calls live on the air. Real trades, real people, real money, only on Power Trading Radio.
Listen to Power Trading Radio weekday afternoons at 5 on Business 1570. Twin Cities Business Radio.
You're listening to Where You Live with Gene and Tony on Twin Cities Business Radio 1570.
Hi, we're back. This is Where You Live with Gene and Tony, broadcasting live from the Concierge Landscape Studios. Right now, it's time for a message from the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association. This MHA Minute is brought to you by Pest Control Services. When you need an exterminator, you want someone reliable, punctual, and effective. Give Greg Keener a call at Pest Control Services, 952-894-9748. I always do. Pest Control Services is a proud member of Angie's List and the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association. That's Pest Control Services, 952-894-9748. Tell Greg that Gene and Tony sent you.
Some of the benefits of successful property management. Are you ready? On-time payment of rent, improved resident quality, stabilized income, reduced turnover, controlled expenses, improved financial performance, less property wear and tear, allowance for property improvements, enhanced property value, being proactive, not reactive, better relationships with neighbors, fewer police calls, creating a community, being a great neighbor. These are some of the benefits of good property management. And whether you run a townhome association or you are renting out your condo, duplex, or 100-plus unit building, membership with the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association gives you the tools you need to run your business effectively while minimizing the headaches. Don't be a good landlord. Be a great one. Visit www.mmha.com. That's two M's, mmha.com.
Mike, we were talking about new issues that you want to bring up as a tenant advocate to the 2011 legislative session. What's another important one that you want to address?
One of the ones that's been getting a lot of votes on our website ballot is the right of somebody who has some sort of physical disability that they encounter to be able to get out of a lease if a medical professional says that they can get out. Whether it's to move into a nursing home or assisted living or something like that, if a medical professional tells you you can't be on that second floor anymore, it's a way to break a lease without the landlord's approval being necessary.
Yeah, I guess you can probably foresee that landlords are going to be worried about that one.
Well, that's fair enough. And I'll say that most people that want to get out of a lease, they negotiate their way out. That's how it happens for everybody. But there are a few ways where tenants get out of a lease right now. If you join the military or you transferred, you get out of a lease, whether the landlord wants it or not.
Not transfer. Or you mean if you join the military and are transferred?
No, even if you're in the military and you get transferred, you get out of the lease then too.
Yeah. You get I wanted to differentiate between a job transfer.
You're thinking of job transfer.
Yeah. Just military. About that. If you die, you get out of your lease.
Yeah, you know what, though?
And that's pretty permanent.
It is pretty permanent.
Except I understand that a landlord can enforce the lease with the estate.
Only for 2 months.
Okay.
Only for two months. That's right.
All right.
Also, if the place burns down, the tenant gets out of their lease, and
right.
the newest one is domestic abuse.
That's right.
Where if a tenant is a victim of domestic abuse, gets an order for protection, they can get out of a lease then. This is similar to that in that the tenant didn't ask for any of this. They're not
sure, but neither did the landlord. And most landlords are object to the domestic abuse issue as well.
Well, they can object, but it's the law.
I understand. Well, I think because
something's the law wouldn't necessarily make it right, though, too.
Well, that's a fair point, but that law is very recent. It's maybe 5 years old. So, okay. I mean, and there was thoughtful conversation about that at that time.
Yeah, I would like to talk about this a lot more because some of the questions that I have is, you know, I'm looking at, again, the other side of that coin here, too. A landlord who might be, who becomes ill and can't work, are we going to stand up for them and say, well, they can't make their obligation to the mortgage company, so
mortgage.
They should be out? Right. Should someone who can't, because of illness, now all of a sudden they can't make their car payment, they should be out too? To me, it just doesn't seem reasonable that would be something that would be put out there.
Well, both of those that you just mentioned were somebody that could no longer meet a financial obligation.
Well, I tell you what,
we're
at the top of the hour. We'll be back with this, folks, and a lot more after these messages. Stay tuned to Where You Live with Gene and Tony. Back after this.
To be loved by you. The Pelosi Democrats are going, gone. Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. Midterm voters are preparing to send the Democrats packing in November, and Town Hall Magazine has a scathing examination of the reasons why. District by district and state by state, Town Hall Magazine handicaps the races for you to watch on election night, plus words of wisdom from Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, and much more. Log on to townhallmagazine.com and subscribe to get the fresh, conservative, intelligent reporting you need now more than ever. Townhallmagazine.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I join the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
From Wall Street to Main Street, your voice for business and financial news, talk, and information. This is Business 1570, Twin Cities Business Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Tons of coal dust, falling rocks, and dangerous gas levels are among the obstacles facing rescuers as they try to rescue 16 miners trapped in a Chinese coal mine. BBC correspondent Vivian March has a report.
Chinese media said rescuers at the mine in Henan province were being held up by falling coal and gas levels 40 times higher than normal. The gas wasn't named, but methane is often to blame. It isn't known if the trapped miners are alive.
Chinese safety officials say 276 miners were in the blast at the time of the explosion. It's not known exactly how many may have survived. Also at SRNnews.com, President Obama says in his weekly radio and internet address, he wants to encourage U.S. business expansion through his tax policy.
I want to give every business in America a tax break so they can write off the cost of all new equipment they buy next year. That's going to make it easier for folks to expand and hire new people.
And in the Republican address, Congressman Mike Pence of Indiana said trusting the president to create new jobs has not worked out so far.
The administration promised that if Congress borrowed $1 trillion from future generations, their stimulus bill would keep unemployment below 8%. Today, unemployment remains at a heartbreaking 9.6%.
Pence also called on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to bring lawmakers back before the midterm elections and vote on whether or not to extend the Bush-era tax cuts. Parts of the Adirondacks are seeing the season's first significant snowfall. Paul Sisson is a meteorologist at the National Weather Service.
We saw a report from the Killington area down in central southern Vermont where they had 14 inches, but that was at the top of the mountain, which was like 4,000 feet. Down where the people live, you know, a couple of inches.
The National Weather Service says 2 inches of snow fell on Friday at Lake Placid. Higher elevations did get a little more accumulation. This is SRN News.
Are you a woman with noticeable brown spots, age spots, liver spots, or uneven tones on your skin? If you answered yes, you're entitled to a free 30-day supply of Dr. Perry's Night Skin. Dr. Arthur Perry is a Harvard-trained plastic surgeon, and his night skin cream was made with ingredients that fade the look of ugly brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. Your area has been selected to try a free 30-day supply of night skin. This amazing free giveaway is only available while supplies last, so don't wait. Diminish the appearance of brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. To find out how you can try a free 30-day supply of night skin for just shipping and handling, call 1-800-764-7498. That's 800-764-7498. This free offer won't last long, so call now. Call 1-800-764-7498. That's 800-764-7498.
Hi, everybody. Ray Lucia, Certified Financial Planner. Here's a shocking statistic that illustrates how the economic crisis has blindsided our retirement plans. A recent study published by the Boston College Center for Retirement Research finds that due to declining stock and home values, Americans aged 32 to 64 are cumulatively $6.6 trillion short of what they need to retire. Generations of people, both young and older, have had their retirement plans derailed and face the threat of inflation and taxes further cutting into their portfolios. But there is a solution to help get your retirement back on track. It's the Buckets of Money Retirement Solution right out of my brand new book. It's the retirement planning and income strategy I devised that's now used by thousands of people nationwide. Folks, I invite you to schedule a complimentary consultation with an authorized, personally trained Buckets of Money advisor today and receive your free retirement analysis. Call 877-PLANNER to schedule. That's 877-PLANNER or visit BucketsOfMoney.com.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe on your credit cards, the company that has settled more debt than anyone in the U.S. can settle your debt too. While you make one low monthly program payment, you have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. This free information is available now simply by calling Freedom Debt Relief at 1-800-513-2743. I repeat, if you have extremely large credit card debt, you now have the ability to reduce your total debt and get one simple low monthly program payment. This could allow you to become debt-free faster than you ever thought possible. But you must act quickly. Call Freedom Debt Relief now to learn how much you can save. 1-800-513-2743. Again, this life-changing information is available for free. To find out how much you may be able to save, call today. 1-800-513-2743. That's 1-800-513-2743. 1-800-513-2743.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time for Where You Live with Gene and Tony, the show that's all about owning, buying, selling, renting, and association management. If it involves a home, we'll talk about it. Here's your chance to get your homeowner questions answered.
From the Concierge Landscape Studios, here's Gene and Tony.
Need the shelter of someone's arms, and there you were. Needed someone to understand my ups and downs.
Welcome back to hour two of Where You Live with Gene and Tony. Our guest today is managing attorney and director of Homeline, Inc., Mike Rah, who is a member of a tenants advocacy group. We're talking about maintaining the balance between tenant and landlord rights, and we're talking about some of the new thoughts or ideas that might be approaching the state legislature this next year. And we're having a very robust discussion.
Spirited discussion. And yeah. Mike, I want to say, I said this off the air, but I want to say it on the air. It is really fun to talk to you about this stuff because you are a very intelligent guy with passion about your industry, your service, and that makes it very interesting for me.
And we want to have you give us a call. Folks, you may be tuning in now, or if you have been, 651-289-4477 is the number. And right before the break, we were talking about one of the notions, and you said this was probably one of the big vote getters that you saw from your website. And you want to give that website address again?
Sure, www.homelinemn.org.
Okay, and you are looking specifically for renters to give their opinion as to what are some of the biggest issues that they might be contending with?
Well, actually, we don't screen the votes. All we require is an email address, and anybody can vote at that point.
All right, very good. And so it could be more than just the tenant or renter, too. And one of those issues was the idea or notion of a renter being able to get out of their lease because of an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that prior to the last segment here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking some of the issues that we had, and I was bringing up the point that I thought that, to me, it seems like what would be analogous would be a person who owns a mortgage. If they all of a sudden could not live in their two-story home because of a disability, I don't know that they have the right to be able to cancel their mortgage and just be free to move on, even though that's unfortunate that happened. Why would a renter be allowed to do the same?
Well, I give speeches to landlords too. I don't just talk to tenants, but I give speeches to landlords. In fact, I'm giving one on November 1. It's available on our website. You can see the information about that. But when I go talk to landlord groups, one of the things I ask them really early on is, how many of you have a lease? And mm-hmm. almost all of them raise their hand, which is to their credit. But the second question is, who wrote it? Did you write it or did the tenant write it? Mm-hmm. And they think that's just an absurd question.
The landlord wrote it.
Because it's an absurd question. In residential real estate in this state, landlords write the leases. Whether they wrote them or not, if they bought them at OfficeMax or someplace like that, is a different question. But okay. They provide the lease, not the tenant. And the general way things happen when it comes to lease signing is a landlord puts a lease in front of a tenant and says, sign it or you don't get the place. And those are the options the tenant has. Of course, they can walk down the street.
Of course, they can stop and read the lease before they sign it.
Well, sure, they can stop and read the lease. But this is the kind of thing that's not going to come up necessarily at the beginning of your lease. You're not going to think, I'm going to become disabled.
But let me ask you a question in a larger sense. With purchasing a home, too, how a person purchases a home, at what price and all that, you're talking about in a free market, a buyer and a seller, who both being able to negotiate terms and prices. I see that happening all the time in the rental industry as well.
And you're a landlord, right, Gene?
Yes, I am.
Do you let tenants rewrite the lease frequently?
There are times.
If I had to, in order to rent my apartments, absolutely. If a family member calls me, and this happened, my sister called me from Portland, Oregon, and said, I need to rent an apartment. They're asking for this much money. Do landlords ever negotiate? And I said, absolutely. I educate my family members to negotiate what they want when they're out looking for a rental.
I've had renters, yes, to answer your question. I've had a renter who said, you know what? I think I can get another place a little bit cheaper. I'll stay in here again, but the rent's going to be lower. Mm-hmm. I've lowered the rent for someone. I've had someone who'll say, you know what? I will be willing to stay here, but I'm not going to do another 1 year lease. I want an option that if I give you 30 days because of a job promotion or something else, I can be out of here.
Or for any reason. We negotiate terms all the time.
So to answer your question, yes.
And I agree on the money front. That does happen a lot. People negotiate the money, but they don't negotiate the minutia of the terms of the lease, which a lot of landlords, frankly, don't even know. It's just the contract that they use.
Well, could this be then an area that requires tenant education, renter education, more than legislation?
That's not going to solve it. We talked during the break, and I wish people could have heard what was happening then. But like I mentioned before the break, if people die, they get out of their lease. Right. And it's not dying, but it's one step short of that.
But they have to pay 2 months.
Yeah, they have to pay 2 months, which she's smiling about. You guys can't see that at home. But so is that fair? I mean, maybe you had a 10-year lease and you get out with 2 months just because you died. What kind of sad excuse is that? Right. We have legislation to protect people.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I guess no. I would think that the estate ought to be responsible for the entire term.
But they're not.
They used to be. That's right.
And let me also say, and I know this because my father passed away about 5 years ago. Any financial obligation he had to pay before things.
But not on a lease. That law is much older than 5 years old.
Well, whether it was, but that doesn't matter.
Here's my problem. Sorry, Gene.
We're both feeling passionate about this.
Yes, we are.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Poor Mike.
But to me, it just goes back to the question, is that right? Sure, it may have, the law has changed. Sure, right now it may be that if you die, it's only 2 months. But again, should it be that way? I think a person maintaining their obligations is the best way to move forward. I think our country would be in a better financial spot if people didn't always have an out for everything and had to take care of obligations.
Mm. And again, the other parallel is the military exception, which has been around since World War II. We could eliminate that too. People just shirking their landlord contracts to go join the military. It seems awfully irresponsible.
I really, really object to, I am a landlord, but I am a really compassionate person and I am very careful to honor tenant rights. But I'm also very adamant about asserting my rights. I don't understand why, in the event of an unforeseen circumstance, like someone becoming ill, I, as a landlord, have to eat a loss because of it. How is that fair?
Well, you don't necessarily have to eat a loss. You have to try to get somebody else in there. Mm-hmm. And maybe you won't lose any money at all. But what it does do is give the person a legal way out. I'll tell you the advice I give an 80-year-old person that calls me right now, which is, Are you collectible? Are you collectible?
Okay,
if you walk out the door, can they collect any money from you?
Right.
Which is the right advice I have to give them as a lawyer. That doesn't help a landlord. If we come up with something similar to the domestic abuse statute now, where they have to pay a one-month penalty, and they want to honor their contract in some way, they can do that.
Well, you're right.
They can do that now, too. They can honor their contract.
You're right.
Or they can walk out the door, too.
But to me, it would seem like the right thing to do would be to encourage instead for both parties to negotiate and renegotiate. I think the same thing can happen, has happened with a number of people. Some people wanted to go from renting to owning their own home. And so I know people who've been able to do that successfully because they go to the landlord, even though they're in a lease and they have an obligation for six more months, and have said, if I can find another renter that is equal or greater in terms of responsibility,
can be qualified,
credit worthy,
yeah,
would you allow me to pay for that expense to bring that person to you and then release me from the lease? The landlord would say yes.
That's,
and we're
right,
talking large companies, not necessarily just the small investor who owns one unit or a duplex, but large management companies, large investor owners that own hundreds of units are still willing to do
so
that.
So are
kind
small
of thing.
Landlords, if they're well educated, mm-hmm, if they know, if they can see the big picture, which is I want to keep a paying tenant in my my unit more than I want to enforce my lease or hold the tenant responsible for every darn thing. I want to keep a paying tenant in that apartment.
Well, I tell you what, we've got to take another break. We've got Norma on line one. Norma, hang on. We're going to get to you right after this next break. You're listening to Where You Live with Gene and Tony on AM 1570 Business Radio.
Setting the standard in association management, that's new concepts. Their professional staff is dedicated to top-notch customer care. This dedication has made them the leader at providing services to housing associations and homeowners. Your association may be looking for help with administration, consulting, financials, public relations, or vendor management. With over 140 years of combined experience, New Concepts is prepared to help you with all of your association needs, whatever they may be. New Concepts also offers construction, remodeling, maintenance, home staging, and real estate services. For all your association management or homeowner needs, call New Concepts. You can reach them at 952-922-2500. That's 952-922-2500. Or online at newconceptsgroup.com. newconceptsgroup.com. New Concepts, setting the standard in association management and providing innovations beyond.
And now, performing under the big top, the Amazing PM.
Ooh.
Watch as the Amazing PM juggles budgets, insurance quotes, boardroom politics, and doggy poo. They will also throw in a huge remodeling project. Which contractor will they choose for the massive roofing, siding, and window project? It's New Exteriors by SMA.
Yes, you are an amazing property manager. And yes, New Exteriors by SMA is a true crowd pleaser. Put our expertise to work for you. Roofing, siding, windows, gutters, and more. Get your preferred customer card and save your HOA's big money. Visit newexterior.com or call 877-SMA today.
The doggy poo. That's going to mean a warning letter.
Attention. Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-522-0884. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today.
If you're serious about getting rid of your dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today, 1-800-522-0884. Once more, that's 1-800-522-0884.
You're listening to Where You Live with Gene and Tony on Twin Cities Business Radio 1570.
Welcome back to Where You Live. We're broadcasting live from the Concierge Landscape Studios. Remember, it's even true for properties. You only get one chance to make a good first impression. Make yours the best by calling the professionals at Concierge Landscape at 763-213-2410. We're discussing tenants and landlord rights. What inequities are there in the system today? What should be righted? And we would love to hear from you, 651-289-4477. Our guest, Mike Vraw, Managing Attorney and Director of Homeline, Inc., a tenant advocacy group. We have Norma, who's been on patiently waiting on line one. Good morning, Norma.
Good morning.
Well, go ahead. You have a question or comment?
Well, I have to tell you, my question isn't nearly as interesting as your discussion. But I own a small building in South Minneapolis, and I've been using Minnesota multi-housing leases. And I want to know if they're going to be printing up new leases that will reflect these new state regulations that you were talking about earlier in your show.
Yeah, I can answer that, Norma. They are. They're editing their current lease, especially the clause about reciprocal legal fees. I may not be putting that in the best way, but I think the current lease says that the landlord can collect legal fees if they go to court for eviction. And now they're going to reword it so that it reflects the new statute, which says that's a reciprocal situation. The tenant can also collect legal fees if they prevail in court.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just need to get some new leases.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that's always a good point. I think it's always been a good resource for people who are landlords that are just doing things on their own. And we've talked about that, Mike, too, that you have some people that are some of the crazy notions that take place are because people have no way of gauging what is good or what is bad. Sometimes folks are not meaning to be a poor landlord, but they put crazy things in there, like you said, the $25 a day.
That's not sometimes that unusual, sadly. But I do see a lot of people. If I see a lease come in my door and it's from the internet, I know that I'm dealing with a landlord that doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Good point. Very good point.
Say, Norma, you're still on, right?
Yes, and I have another point to make.
Okay.
That I go through every paragraph on my lease, and, you know, it's small print, front and back, with the new tenant. And I have to say, a couple of them have fallen asleep during the But I want you to know I tried.
But you're conscientious, so you do sit down with your with your new renter and explain all the clauses in the lease.
Right.
You know, what I find interesting is I can't tell you how many times a tenant has said to me, "You mean the landlord is supposed to pay interest on the security deposit?"
Yes.
I've never had a landlord pay interest on my security deposit.
Yes.
Or, similar things.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask, how long have you been a landlord, Norma?
33 years.
Okay. In the 33 years, have renters felt free to come to you to talk about changes, wanting to change the lease or the terms, even during the time of the lease itself?
Yes, absolutely, and we always negotiate some kind of result that we both can live with.
Sure, sure. That sounds very reasonable.
All right, well, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
And we'd love to hear from you, too. You would may like to get into this discussion, 651-289-4477. Let's talk about another issue. If we can, and let's try that one more time.
Nope, not going to work.
You're not going to work. Okay.
Oh, we were trying for a special effect, and it just didn't work.
Sometimes it just doesn't.
Yeah.
But there's another issue that's been you've been hearing a lot from getting traction from renters? What is that,
Mike? The heat code.
Heat code.
Statewide heat code.
Okay, explain that, please.
Okay. Well, there is no statewide heat code when it comes to how warm a rental unit is supposed to be. There never has been in this state, and there isn't right now. We're one of 5 states that don't have some sort of rule on the book, either about what the temperature is supposed to be or what the mechanism inside the building is supposed to be able to create, mm-hmm. what the furnace is supposed to be able to do. 80% of Minnesota renters are covered in some regard by a city rule. There's no county rules, but there might be a city rule. But there's 20% of renters, for instance, Golden Valley, a suburb right next to Minneapolis, has no heat code. And what these heat codes typically look like is it's got to be at least 68 degrees in the middle of the room, off the floor, 3 feet off the floor, between October 1st and May 1st or something like that, is the kind of phrasing you'll see in that. And that's something that we think, it shouldn't matter if you live in Golden Valley or next door in Crystal, you should be warm enough in your apartment.
Okay. So is that what you think you would propose, is that it's a measurement in the middle of the room, about 3 feet off the floor? Because that answers the issue of what if we have drafty windows, what if whatever, it's colder on the floor than it is higher.
Yeah, because I think that would have been probably one of the concerns, right, Tony? You said a renter might say, hey, I've put my thermometer and it's by the window.
Sure.
And then they say, hey, look, you're not keeping things warm. So it's very measurable. I don't think I would necessarily have a problem with that at all.
I don't either, as it stands. I know that I think every single time I've had a complaint about heat, not every single time, but often I'll get a complaint about heat and I'll go to address the issue, or I'll go to check a thermostat and the renter greets me at the door in a tank top and shorts and no shoes and no socks, and it's January. So
yeah, I don't think I even have a tank top. Hard for me to relate.
That's good. That's good.
At a certain age, no man should have a tank top.
Yet. So just renters, please keep in mind that you need to also be practical, and maybe in the winter in Minnesota, put on a few more clothes, even though you're inside your house.
Do you expect a lot of pushback on this particular one, do you think?
You know what? We ran into some last year.
Oh,
some
really?
Legislators saying, you know, that's unreasonable, and we were frankly shocked on that one, that was something that would be a pushback on. But it seems like such a basic thing in a state like this.
Do you hear a lot from tenants saying, you know what, I'm just too cold and my landlord hasn't turned the heat on yet and it's November 15th?
Sure, during a four-month period, it'll be in our top 5 or 6 calls.
I see. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Now, you said you all have at Homeline just started in the last year to 18 months to start working on advocacy and working at the state legislature. Have you thought of working with someone like another entity like the Minnesota Multi-Housing together on some of those issues?
In fact, what was drafted and agreed to last year was largely done through three agencies, Legal Aid, our office, and Minnesota Multi-Housing, sitting at one table over at the Capitol, trying to think what sounds fair, what do we think our membership can agree to, depending on who you were representing. So we were working closely with them.
Yeah, so that's
very encouraging. I really like that a lot. I have to say this, though. Small landlords are not well represented in
I agree
that
with
group.
That. I agree with that.
And I work so much with small landlords that I guess that's becoming more and more clear to me as the years go by that, man, they really need a voice, but they're a very unorganized bunch. So it's difficult.
And they are becoming larger. What was the term you referred to them as?
Well, I call them amateur landlords, not to be disparaging, but it's just not their profession.
That's
not what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's accurate.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about Section 8. I'd like to, there's some things coming up. That small topic, yes. Yes, we'll narrow it down from there once we get back from these messages. You're listening to Where You Live with Gene and Tony on AM 1570. We'll be back after this. How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Setting the standard in association management. That's new concepts. Their professional staff is dedicated to top-notch customer care. This dedication has made them the leader at providing services to housing associations and homeowners. Your association may be looking for help with administration, consulting, financials, public relations, or vendor management.
With over 140 years of combined experience, New Concepts is prepared to help you with all of your association needs, whatever they may be. New Concepts also offers construction, remodeling, maintenance, home staging, and real estate services. For all your association management or homeowner needs, call New Concepts. You can reach them at 952-922-2500. That's 952-922-2500. Or online at newconceptsgroup.com. newconceptsgroup.com. New Concepts, setting the standard in association management and providing innovations beyond.
Clean Response is a nationwide 24-hour disaster recovery response team to the rescue and on the scene at a moment's notice. Whether it's massive property damage caused by a natural disaster or damage by a fire or flood, Clean Response is there to provide the highest quality catastrophe services, quickly bringing your property back to pre-loss condition. Call Clean Response today, 651-646-3408. That's 651-646-3408.
Hi, this is Merlin Rothfeld. You hear me every day right here on Power Trading Radio, so you know I'm passionate about the markets. My good friend Pat Byrne is the owner and president of Online Trading Academy right here in Minneapolis. Pat and his team have a free half-day power trading workshop here this week. What you will learn when you attend a free power trading workshop is how to take full advantage of the information and strategies that you hear every day right here on Power Trading Radio. So call Pat and his team at Online Trading Academy right now at 888-682-6466 and schedule your free power trading workshop. And he'll give you a technical analysis course worth $99 absolutely free just for attending. Online Trading Academy has over 18,000 graduates around the world, and through the process, they've learned how to take an average investor or trader and really give them the tools and strategies needed to improve their success. So call 888-682-6466 right now. Again, that's 888-682-6466. Call today.
Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a building or a mountain peak. At Maverick, surfers brave 60-foot faces to ride the world's largest waves. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who rappel out of helicopters, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, and fly through walls of fire, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
You're listening to Where You Live with Gene and Tony on Twin Cities Business Radio 1570.
Welcome back to Where You Live with Gene and Tony. We're broadcasting live from the Concierge Landscape Studios. I'd like to remind our listeners in Hour 2 that we have a free resource for you. It's a bi-monthly newsletter called What's New. A lot of the topics we cover on this show is covered in further detail. That's yours free for the asking. Give us a call at New Concepts during the week at 952-922-2500. Ask for Courtney. She'll make sure that you start receiving your subscription. We're talking today to Mike Vrah, who's managing attorney and director for Homeline, Inc., a tenant advocacy group in Minnesota. We're talking about balancing the rights and responsibilities of tenants and landlords. We heard from Norma this last segment. We'd love to hear from you. 651-289-4477. We've talked about several issues now. We've talked about statewide heat code. We've talked about security deposits. Mike, I mentioned I'd like to talk a little bit about Section 8, what's called what you would consider discrimination, and that would be that landlords should not be allowed to reject applicants based solely on Section 8 vouchers. You think that that would be a reasonable law to have in place?
Well, first of all, these are laws that we came up with last year.
Yeah.
And at that point, the Court of Appeals decision that ruled that Section 8 in this state is refusing to accept Section 8 is not discrimination, not illegal discrimination,
okay.
I should say. Of course, it's discrimination. The question
sure.
is whether it's illegal or illegal.
There you go. Good point.
A fair point, yes.
Right. So anyhow, we came up with this last year trying to get some clarity in the landscape because at that point, many landlords were saying no to Section 8. For whatever reason, and there was this open question, is that legal or is it not? And the Court of Appeals is the highest court in this state that's heard that question. And what that's based on is a state law that says that the receipt of public assistance, which is the law, is a protected class, just like race or religion is. So mm-hmm. the question became, is Section 8 public assistance? Which I have a hard time understanding how it's not. frankly, because it's assistance that comes from, you know, a public source. So I think the Court of Appeals got it wrong. I'm a lawyer. I'm not going to get disbarred for saying that, but I think they got it wrong. But the legislature could fix that if they decided that they just wanted to extend Section 8 to other forms of public assistance. I'll tell you the other one that I see, although rarely. Mm-hmm. A landlord will say, you know what, I need three times your rent for income, or else I'm going to say no to you. They clearly cannot say, I'm not going to count welfare or MFIP or TANF or whichever right. phrase they want. But some landlords do. I still get those calls where landlords will make that mistake. And so we could extend it and say Section 8 is just like all the other public assistance, and you shouldn't be rejected because of it.
Yeah. I know you understand this, or you know these arguments very well, Mike, from landlords. And the reason let me start by saying I always advise my owners to accept Section 8 voucher. We're a large management company. We have the staff. We have the expertise to handle the additional paperwork, the additional contract, the additional inspections, and we can absorb the late payments of rent, which sometimes occur depending on which housing authority you're dealing with. But for a small landlord with one building or a small building, it's very difficult for them to take on all of that extra work. They cannot charge extra for the unit. That would be discrimination. They cannot charge a different security deposit. Apparently, that would be discrimination. So they're stuck. They would be stuck with having to deal with a government agency that does not operate the way the rest of the industry does.
Yeah, I get the point. And I've heard all the arguments, like you say, about why people don't want to have Section 8. But you get a promise of payment from the best promiser on the planet, which is Uncle Sam. I mean, you can listen to this radio station at other hours and you're going to hear about how the economy's in terrible straits. But Uncle Sam promises they're going to pay something. That's the big risk, I think, for a small landlord. Yeah. You talk about all the administrative burdens. How much of a burden would it be if they have a tenant that walks out the door and doesn't pay the rent?
That's why I recommend it to our owners. Hey, roughly 2/3 of your rent is guaranteed every mm-hmm. month. That's a great thing. However, this summer I waited 3 months for rent to be paid from the Minneapolis yeah. Public Housing Authority, mm-hmm. and every authority in town, and I know of at least 7 of them, operates slightly differently yeah. with slightly different paperwork, with slightly different deadlines, slightly different inspections. That's a huge burden on a landlord to figure all that out.
I would agree. I think that would be the issue. It's not the issue of the payment itself. You're right. If someone can agree with the price of the rent for that unit, and that person is receiving their money from the government, yes, that would be fine. That would be solid and mm-hmm. a reason. And like Tony said, we recommend that people mm-hmm. do that, because otherwise all you're doing is limiting the market. However,
that's right. Limiting the number of people we can potentially rent this place mm-hmm. to. Yeah.
However, when someone is just barely hanging on there with that mortgage and that mortgage payment, and a lot of homeowners now are trying to stay responsible, and even with that rent payment, they're going to have to come out with $300, $400 more out of their pocket just to keep that going. They can't wait 3-4 months to get that. Or the other thing that is difficult is it may be delayed because there was one little I that wasn't dotted or a T that was crossed. And let's face it, the one thing that the government also is known for is a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And that can be devastating to someone who's trying to hang on to their property.
As can a tenant who doesn't pay the rent for 3 or 4 months because they lost their job.
Yeah, but we don't let them live there that long, though.
Some landlords do. It depends on the market, really. Depends on the market.
Yeah. I also have a personal bone to pick about this, and I know you want to hear my personal story.
Yeah, I love those.
About 12 years ago, I managed a huge apartment community, 365 units, and 1/3 of them were rented by Section 8 voucher holders, which we were happy to do. At that time, vacancy rates were extremely low. Less than 1%. But we were happy to work with the Section 8 program. However, at that time, Metro HRA never paid their rents before the 15th of the month. So my delinquencies looked horrible at that property. I always had 1/3 of my rents were delinquent, and I never got a quarterly bonus from that company because of it. So I think the Section 8 program owes me about $6,000.
Well, you can. I always tell people you can sue anybody for anything. So good luck.
Okay. Well, if I need a lawyer, I'll call you.
Oh, that doesn't mean you'll win. That just means you can sue them.
Good
yeah.
Point,
oh,
good point.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about another issue here. There's one here that I found interesting too. Duty to mitigate says if a tenant moves out before a lease ends, a landlord should at least be required to try to re-rent the apartment unit before suing the tenant. Why?
Well, frankly, the reason we say why to this is because 42 other states say it's required.
Well, again,
okay, if Jimmy jumped off the Washington
Avenue
Bridge.
Yeah, did your mother ever mention that to you?
First of all, I'm not encouraging anybody to jump off a bridge.
Okay.
I don't know where you're going with this, Tony.
Okay.
42 other states have thought about this, and this has been the law for a long time. The truth of the matter is most landlords try to mitigate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
right.
There's no market reason not to.
That's yeah. Right.
But I think there should be a law that says they have to try. Right now, the law is actually to the contrary. They have no obligation to try, which I think is just an absurd law.
But it would be absurd for a landlord not to try because they're not going to be able to collect that rent from
On occasion, they don't try. On occasion, they don't try.
Well, they're ignorant. Well, they need education. Those landlords need
okay, so landlord
education.
And tenant education
absolutely.
You've advocated for in this.
Yeah,
I guess that's what the show is about.
But again, but if you're hanging your head on the idea that, well, 42 mm-hmm. states say it's okay, that to me doesn't answer the question, is it right? We had slavery that was allowed too years ago, and you know back then you could have said, well, you know what, a lot of the states agree that this is
okay.
No,
right.
I'm sorry, that doesn't make it yeah. right.
All right, so let me try to answer the question initially by once again saying I'm anti-suicide and anti-slavery.
Okay,
the
good.
Examples you've given to okay. counter my argument, which are fantastic counterpoints.
Ooh,
but,
wow, nice spin on that discussion.
Look, the point about the 42 states is at least 42 other states already think this is a good idea. Maybe we should think if it's
about
a good
it.
Idea or not.
Okay,
that's why I mentioned the 42 states is the reason. But the main reason is a landlord should have to try. It just doesn't make any contract law sense that they wouldn't have to try to cover.
Okay, let me offer this scenario. However, I have a 60-unit apartment community. I have 5 vacancies right now. If a renter comes to me and says, I'm going to break my lease or I want to break my lease, I am under no obligation to rent theirs first.
That's right.
I've got 5 other vacancies that I want to rent first because I already have a contract on that on
yep.
that unit. So I do not want to be forced to try and rent that unit when I've got other vacancies to fill.
Yeah, it's the best counter argument you can make. So,
oh, thank you.
Good job. Better than the suicide/slavery.
Okay, good. Good.
But so for that reason, then that's still not good enough reason?
No,
for you?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I think a landlord should try to re-rent the place. That's all this law is really trying to get happen. And once again, like I said, that's what most good landlords do, but 5%
yeah.
don't.
And, yeah.
I won't do it if I have 5 other vacancies. I won't do it if I have
yeah,
1
and
other vacancy.
I think that's
a bad
issue.
Landlord if I did that.
And
I would not be serving my owner well.
And that to me is the real issue because if
yeah.
everything else is rented, except
then of course
and you have
you
this, yes, the landlord is going to do that. But if they have other units, no, they have a. I think they don't have that obligation. Let's talk about another one. You pick one. Mike, what do you think is a big issue?
Well, actually, Tony, you had mentioned you wanted to talk about expungements.
Court records.
Yeah. Okay.
Explain that issue to us, Mike.
Well, why expungements? First of all, we have to go back to the tenant screening concept, which we talked about the first hour, but I'll recap it again. Landlords charging money to do a background check, and they look at rental history, criminal record, and credit. That's the main 3 components that they look at. I honestly believe that landlords look at rental history first. Are there any evictions? Because that's what somebody's done to another landlord in the past, so they should be most affected by that.
It's very important.
Yeah. The problem is that a lot of evictions, well, first of all, they stay on a record practically for 7 years, although legally they stay there forever. They don't go away. They stay there for 7 years. And what we have is a lot of people trying to get expungements. Sometimes they should get them under the current laws as they exist, which requires that there was no basis in law or in fact. Mm-hmm. So the landlord is basically wrong when they filed the eviction.
The landlord should never have filed.
That's right. And 90% of evictions are for non-payment of rent. So basically you'd have to argue that the landlord was wrong the day they filed the case, that they shouldn't have filed the case, that they didn't owe the rent somehow. That's a pretty high standard under the current law as it stands.
I'm sorry. Say that again?
Sure. 9 out of 10 evictions, the landlord says they didn't pay their rent on time.
And is that true?
Yeah, that's 9 out of 10 evictions.
Okay. Okay.
And the tenant would have to prove in an expungement, a successful expungement motion,
that they had paid the rent.
The landlord is just wrong. So that happens very rarely.
Okay.
Right? That the landlord landlords
Don't
file evictions just for the fun of it. It's $322 to file one of those. Those are
upwards of $500 in Hennepin County once you have the process server in there.
Well, you don't have to hire a process server. You can have anybody do it.
Yes, and if someone's and you're right. If someone's paying on time, that's exactly what they want.
Right. Sure. So, of course. But anyhow, what we're trying to do, kind of a thematic issue, is A, if somebody has a valid reason for an expungement, to make it easier to get, as it stands in Hennepin County, which is the biggest rental county in the state, the tenant probably can't get an expungement at that initial hearing. Even if they win the case, even if they have a slam dunk winner, the landlord was just wrong, the court might say, you know what, you need to set it on for a hearing later on. And then the tenant has to file and pay a motion of $322 for an expungement. What we're asking on one of these things is that it could be heard at the hearing itself. In some other counties,
if the tenant was in the right, if absolutely it should be expunged because the landlord made a mistake, you want to make that a simpler process for that tenant.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And
so they don't have to go back again.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. I think that's
fair. I agree with that. But you just said that's one of the cases.
Yep. There's other cases, too. Some of them are just cleaning up concepts. Right now, if a landlord files an eviction, they have to swear under oath that the tenant still is in possession of the place. They have to do that under oath. And sometimes it's just not the case. The tenant has already left. They've given the keys. The landlord, and this is going to be an amateur landlord again, will file an eviction because they don't know what else to do. The tenant walked out on the lease. The truth is they should sue them in small claims court trying to get the money back. They shouldn't go file an eviction, but they do it.
Okay, so again, that was another error made by the landlord.
It is another error. It's a very specific error.
Okay.
I think retaliation would be another place where you could argue. If the tenant can prove that the landlord retaliated against them for calling an inspector or something like that, that there should be sort of an assumption that an expungement should be granted in that case.
If the court decides
that retaliation,
in the favor
that's
of the,
right. That's
of
right.
The tenant. Okay,
which is not,
I'll agree to that.
Not the current law. The stuff that gets into a little bit more controversial is a discretionary expungement. This is similar to what you see for criminal issues in many other states. If somebody wants to get an expungement of their criminal record, they'll go back to the county, maybe even the judge they were in front of 10 years before, and say, I want to get this removed from my record. This is how my life has changed. And it's granted. And these are for criminal cases. And yet we don't allow that for rental expungements. If somebody 5 years ago didn't pay their rent because their husband walked out on them and left them with two kids, and since then they've had no problems and they've even paid back that old landlord, under the law as it is, they shouldn't get an expungement.
I think
that's how the law stands right now. And I think there's an argument, just like with a criminal case, I think there's a better argument against criminal expungements, but criminal expungements do occur. You can't get one of those for an eviction.
Yeah, well, because it can be done on a criminal case, I don't think necessarily equates that it also should be done.
I'm just saying that's a higher standard. It should be a higher standard.
However, I don't think it should be expunged, whatever the circumstances, because now we're talking about, I think, a huge opportunity for discrimination. If I had an abusive husband and I couldn't pay, he wouldn't let me write checks and I couldn't pay the rent, and 5 years later I can have my eviction expunged. What's to say that for some other reason I couldn't pay my rent, are they going to also expunge my eviction?
You know what I'm saying?
How do you discern?
Well, a judge decides. It makes it discretionary. It's not something that the tenant just fills out a form and gets it. They have to convince a judge that this should be done.
Right, yeah. I think anytime a tenant is expunged, or excuse me, is evicted for legitimate reasons, the landlord prevails, I don't think that should be expunged.
Yeah.
Even if they are now a good person and things have changed, they are still responsible to deal with the consequences of what happened.
There's a lot there that you said. One thing was that the landlord prevailed. The truth of the matter is, for most landlords, if they run a background check, they don't care if a landlord prevailed in an eviction. They care that an eviction was filed.
Well, there is, but I would say that there's probably some truth to that. It's the same with credit card companies in giving credit. They say, okay, you know what? The further back...
I hate credit card companies.
Well, that aside.
Okay.
The fact is that yes, if you have something recently that has been an issue with a non-payment, a credit card company says you're not a good risk right now. As time goes by,
those things
don't get expunged from a person's records either. But credit card companies allow credit to be established with someone once again once there's. Mm-hmm. A certain time, and I would say that the fact that there's a record that was valid with an eviction, even if it was 2 or 3 years back, we have that happen all the time, and we'll go to the landlord and say, hey, look, we found someone, they are, it looks like they did have a problem, but it was 3 years ago.
And with they've the been wonderful ever since.
With the current market and the way things are, we recommend you you move ahead. Again,
And you guys are making the arguments that people make, and I think these are the best arguments you can make against it. I just think that the system as it stands is so weighted against the mistake.
I don't know. I don't disagree that if the tenant prevailed and it was a mistake by the landlord, sure, expunge it. But that's not what you were talking about. You were talking about someone who was legitimately evicted for a good reason, or she had a good reason for not being able to pay her rent. You're saying that should be expunged, and I'm saying it shouldn't.
I think there's certain levels of things that could be passed and should be passed, and depending on the opinion. But they are different issues. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, let's take one last break. We've got one more segment. You've got time to call us with your comments today, too, at 651-289-4477. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
KYCR, Golden Valley, a service of Salem Communications.
Setting the standard in association management. That's New Concepts. Their professional staff is dedicated to top-notch customer care. This dedication has made them the leader at providing services to housing associations and homeowners. Your association may be looking for help with administration, consulting, financials, public relations, or vendor management. With over 140 years of combined experience, New Concepts is prepared to help you with all of your association needs, whatever they may be. New Concepts also offers construction, remodeling, maintenance, home staging, and real estate services. For all your association management or homeowner needs, call New Concepts. You can reach them at 952-922-2500. That's 952-922-2500. Or online at newconceptsgroup.com. newconceptsgroup.com. New Concepts, setting the standard in association management and providing innovations beyond.
Maintaining your property's asphalt is a good investment because in this economy, it's more important than ever for homeowners to extend the life of their assets. Over the last 14 years, Minnesota Asphalt Maintenance has helped hundreds of townhome associations extend the life of their pavement. Call Mike or Marty at Minnesota Asphalt Maintenance today for a free pavement analysis, 612-366-2444. That's 612-366-2444. Or visit them online at minnesotaasphalt.com.
Are you looking for a product or service and not sure who to call? Business 1570 can help you find a reputable and reliable business for the product or service you need. Visit our advertiser page at business1570.com and find a list of our preferred Patriot advertisers. You'll find everything you need at business1570.com. If you're a business owner and would like to be featured on our advertiser's page and reach loyal Business 1570 listeners, call Nick Anderson at 651-289-4408.
What is better than having a brand new furnace and air conditioner that you can count on? Answer, knowing you just saved up to $4,500 on your new furnace and air conditioner. Hi, Jared Beach from the one and only Sedgwick Heating and Air Conditioning. Right now, you can save this incredible amount of money when you combine the $1,500 federal tax credit with Sedgwick's instant discount and the available utility rebates. Today is the time to act so you can beat the rush once the cold weather hits. The best part about replacing now is we can install the quietest, most efficient furnace on the market, up to 98.2%. Efficiency. This may be the one time where it pays to have been putting off what you know should have been done. We also have you covered on the service side. Call us now to schedule your annual furnace or boiler tune-up so you are ready when the cold nights hit. And if your furnace or boiler quits working in the middle of the night, it's okay because we are on call 24 hours a day. So don't delay. Call us at 952-955-6985. That's 952-955-6985 or visit us at SedgwickHeating.com.
You're listening to Where You Live with Gene and Tony on Twin Cities Business Radio 1570.
Welcome back. We're broadcasting live from the Concierge Landscape Studios. Right now, let's hear from the CAI. The CAI Minute is brought to you by New Exteriors by SMA. Save your community thousands on your next project with the New Exteriors Preferred Customer Card. Visit newexterior.com. Today, New Exteriors by SMA, a CAI Minnesota annual platinum partner.
Are you a member of the Community Associations Institute? For nearly 40 years, CAI has provided education and resources to volunteer homeowners who govern community associations and the professionals who support them. Visit caionline.org to learn more. That address again is caionline.org. CAI helps community association board members by providing online resources, in-person training, and hard copy publications written by association management experts. CAI offers community managers professional development, networking opportunities, and a certification program that's established as the industry standard nationwide. Minnesota has its own chapter of the Community Associations Institute to bring resources and tools from community associations around the country right to your home. Visit caimn.com to learn more and become a member of CAI today. Your community and management company will benefit from your involvement. Join the Community Associations Institute today at caimn.com and click on membership.
Mike, we have about 5 minutes left, maybe three, 4.5 minutes left in our program today. So tell me, what is another big issue that Homeline wants to tackle with the 2011 legislature?
Well, I guess I'll briefly say that one thing we'd love to see happen is some dedicated state funding for low-income housing. I'm not sure in this era how likely that is to happen, but the other topic that we talked about is the tenant's right to pay and deduct for emergency repairs. This is actually becoming an increasing problem in the foreclosure era, where landlords are being foreclosed on, which, by the way, is about 10% of our call volume right now, is landlords being foreclosed on and what the implications are of that for a renter. One of the implications is landlords in this situation frequently, not knowing what they're doing, check out. They just simply stop being landlords, including fixing things that need to be fixed. There is a mechanism in place called an ETRA, an Emergency Tenant Remedies Action, where a tenant can get into court fairly quickly. But last year at around Christmas Eve, we actually had a big building in Anoka where there was raw sewage in the bottom floor. It took about a week to get the hearing finally.
This is
at Christmas time, right? So it wasn't a very sympathetic story, obviously, for landlords. If the tenants could have paid for repairs, then deducted it from their rent the next month, then they would have had now. Right now, there's no law that allows them to do that.
Sure. So in a case like that, something has to be much more expeditious. Something has to be done right now. And the tenants can't just fork out hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to make a repair.
But even in that case where something happening, is there the ability for the courts to respond quick enough anyway? I don't know that they can.
I mean, the mechanism's there. In theory, on an ETRA, you can get into court within, you warn the landlord. Landlord, here's a problem. 24 hours later, you can file the court case. And then it gets set on for a hearing, which might be one day, it might be 7 days, depending on where you are in the state. So it can take a long time for an emergency issue.
But I mean, in a case like that, couldn't a person, I mean, even though they're going to be looking at being in default of their rental agreement, just go ahead and do that. Now they're brought to court. Why that happened, I would think that there would probably be no issue with the courts at that time saying, hey, that was...
they would prevail in
that,
court.
That was reasonable.
Well, the bad news is, like we talked about last segment, they'd have an eviction on their record, which you guys don't want to expunge.
Well, no, but then, as you mentioned, if we talked about if it is... if it is not valid, then
we agree with you
that there's no
actually,
issue
Actually, it
to
would
say,
be valid. It would be a valid eviction under the current law because the landlord would say, I didn't get paid rent. I'm going to file an eviction for non-payment of rent.
But don't you think the tenant would prevail in that situation?
I don't think it's a sure thing. The law really doesn't say yes to that.
Yeah. You know, I got to agree with you. This whole foreclosure climate has really brought up a lot of issues where none of us are used to dealing with. And this is a very legitimate one that an owner has walked away. And I see it in single family homes. That's primarily what I manage.
Right.
The owner has disappeared. I can't get a hold of him anymore. That has happened. So fortunately, they have a management company they can turn to because we make sure things are taken care of. We collect the rent. We pay the bills from the rent in that case. But what I worry about is the 60-unit community where a renter just thinks that they should have had their whatever fixed yesterday.
There's going to be standards on what's emergency enough, basically. It's, you know, the cupboard's the wrong color isn't going to work.
We're out of time. Mike, thanks so much for being a part today.
Mike,
thank you.
Thank you.
One more time, real quickly, the website people can go to.
www.homelinemn.org.
You can take a look at all of the issues that they are looking at wanting to tackle. If you'd like to weigh in on what you think is important, you can do that. and respond. We want to thank you for being a part of the show today and listening. We hope that you'll be with us again next Saturday. Until then, everybody, have a great weekend.
Are the Pelosi Democrats gone in November? Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Midterm voters are preparing to send the Democrats packing. And Town Hall Magazine is a scathing examination of the reasons why, district by district and state by state. Town Hall Magazine handicaps the contest for you to watch on election night. Plus, words of wisdom from Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, and much more. Log on to townhallmagazine.com and subscribe to get the fresh, conservative, intelligent reporting you need now more than ever. Townhallmagazine.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Gary Zeroth, the pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota. And we invite you to listen in to our service every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock on KYCR. Or come visit us on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10:45. And if you are struggling through life's issues and problems, we invite you to come and listen to the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. That's 8 o'clock Sunday mornings on Business 1570, KYCR.
From Wall Street to Main Street, your voice for business and financial news, talk, and information.